From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of May 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's our resident bull and in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll talk with somebody who's a bit more bearish than that, one of our farmer analysts. That would be Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. He'll help us take a look at the cash grain market. And we'll hear about the weather forecast, which is where things very well may turn. That'll come from T-Storm's Mike Tenora. I already did that interview, and I can tell you Mike's going to say, hey, wait a second. Some people are saying next week's good for planting, and it may very well be in our area. But if you live north of Interstate 80 in the Midwest, might remain cool and gray and then some more rain. We'll find out more as we finish out this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. It was kind of an ugly day there. Lots of red. The nearby July soft red winter wheat, that's the harvest month, at $7.07 and a quarter, down 14 and one quarter cent. The corn futures finished at 5.03 and a quarter. In the May, they were down 10 and three quarters. July at 5.07, down 12. September at 5.02 and a half, 10 and three quarters lower. December corn down 9 and three quarters at 4.99 and a half. March contract at 5.07 and a half, 9 cents lower today. May beans at $14.73 and a half, 57 and a quarter cents lower. July at 14.61, down 51 and three quarters. And the August at 13.99 and three quarters, down 41 cents. November beans $12.25 and a half, 21 and a quarter lower. And January at 12.31, down 21 cents. July of next year at 12.41 and a quarter. Down 19 and a quarter. Bean meal at $486.70, $17.20 lower. And the bean oil at $40.92, down 96 cents. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $139.25, up $2.05. August at $138.57.5, up $2.50. August feeder cattle at $190.47.5, locked the limit higher, up $3. And the September there at $190.97.5, also up the limit. Lean hogs at $117.37.5, were down 30 cents. In the May, June at $122.80, down 32 and a half cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. June contract, $99.42 a barrel, down 32 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.93.7, down 2.7. And ethanol futures at $2.17. That's finished 9 cents lower. And the the diesel fuel for the day at $2.91.3 is a penny and 4 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,283.40 an ounce, down $12.50. The dollar at 79.52, now trading on a 10-minute delay, up 0.05 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we'll see scattered showers yet today. It will be cloudy with a high of 54 degrees. It'll be breezy, too, on a west-southwest wind at about 21 miles per hour for the afternoon. And that will gust all the way to 23. There will be some rainfall in the area, chance of about 30%. And then at the same for the night, partly sunny, the high of 59 degrees, west-southwest winds at 8 to 13 miles an hour. And then on Friday evening, mostly cloudy, and a low of 44. Saturday, mostly sunny and 67 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 46. Sunday, partly sunny and 65. Sunday night, mostly cloudy at a low of 47. Monday, sunny and 69. Monday evening, mostly cloudy and 52. Mostly sunny on Tuesday and 75 degrees. Partly cloudy on Tuesday evening and 58. And Wednesday, sunny skies and 79 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora right here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the first day of May 2014 and the very first day of some change and expanded, at least in the beans, trading limits, and they tried to push those things all over the place. Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, and finished dropping them, what, about 50, more than 50 cents for the day. What'd you think of the market?
Well, basically, from a fundamental front, the reasonings are basically on soybeans that kind of triggered the big move, and then everything else kind of followed along. Soybean sales did show a cancellation, which we need to see a cancellation because we have sold more than what USDA has on the balance sheet. Then there was pretty general talk that maybe upwards of 40 to 60 million. At least 40 million bushels of soybeans have been booked out of the South American inventory, either through China cancellations or China resellers or whatever. So the market got a hold of that, and that was negative to the fundamentalists. But technically, I think are probably the primary reason why the market failed, and I think that's maybe telling us that maybe some of the fundamentals short term may turn a little negative, is that the market just could not go through those spike highs or the highs that we made there in early April. We closed out the month higher yesterday, but we just could not gain enough upside momentum to plow our way into new highs for the year. So I think a lot of your fund traders that are technically oriented just basically bailed. There was no buyers underneath the program. I mean, we're talking about, something in the neighborhood of 8,000 bean contracts, 3,000 meal, 3,000 oil, 9,000 corn, and 4,000 wheat contracts that just basically the fund crowd bailed out of today.
For clarification's purposes, you're talking about the highs in April in corn, not the highs in beans, right?
Well, yeah, the highs in beans, too. We just weren't able to
hold above
clear them. You know, we kind of went up to them. The July bean kind of got a double top on them. They kind of fell short. See, the early April high was 21. The highest we got Monday, I think, or Tuesday was 20 and a half. So that was kind of a double top. On the May contract, again, we did punch it out by like a half a cent or a penny, but we just could not clear it and drive the market way above those previous high points. So that was one thing that I've been real concerned about the last couple days, is that the market just seemed like it was running out of upside momentum. And looking at those charts, it was going to quickly turn into a double top formation. You can kind of it's more pronounced in soybeans than probably corn, because corn's got more of a spike high, but it is still somewhat viewed as a double top formation. And when you just can't make new highs under the environment that we were in, we're basically out of planting for a week in here. The planting numbers came in under trade expectations. And then the weather forecast here this morning kind of opened up here for at least a 5-day window, depending upon which weather guy you talk to. But I guess rains are expected to start coming in late next week. There some people could be in the field as early as tomorrow. Some probably won't make it until maybe Sunday. But we are going to see some planting. But, you know, the trade, it's this way every year, is that we always get the first 90% planted. I mean, it's the last 5% or it's the last 10% that we have struggling to get plant. But at least right now, what the trade is looking at is that there is a window. They'll see how much we can get planted. That'll give the market time to work off some overbought technical conditions. And then we'll look around here in a week from now, and we'll see where we're at, I think, on the fundamental front.
Now, you know as well as I do that everybody listened to after the fact our conversation from last Thursday. You're welcome. and you wrote me a note and said, I'm either crazy or I'm a genius. Which one do you think you are today?
Nothing in the corn chart has changed my mind on higher prices. We've held the trend lines. All of the golden crosses on the first degree and second degree are in place. I do think probably we're maybe due for a period of consolidation on some of my short-term cyclical work that I do. Kind of calls for a low here tomorrow. That might, you know, it's a low plus or minus a couple days, so it could spill maybe on into Monday. But by time Monday comes around, who knows what the weather forecast is. That would maybe, you know, jitter back up again, because Monday's planting intentions number isn't likely to grow very much. I think there'll probably be some growth because maybe the recent number was a little bit short, so it could grow a little bit. But it's all going to be about how soon this next system comes in, whether it comes in on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday of next week. And the uptrends are in place. None of my systems gave me a sell signal in corn, so I'm still where I'm at a week ago.
Right.
Now, old crop soybeans are probably the most vulnerable of putting in a short-term top or maybe a seasonal high, simply because if indeed we start bringing in adequate supplies of old crop soybeans to crush, then, you know, that'll slow things down, or the worry to ration inventories. But we still have a lot of work to do. So that market can regroup very quickly. But I would say old crop soybeans are the most vulnerable because they had the premium over new crop. New crop, I think, is still solidly in its uptrend until we get further down the road on planting. Even though today does look a little ugly on the charts, the key has been we've had several of these basically since January. I call them kind of flash breaks where everybody runs out the door at the same time. I think that's part of electronic trading now. And then we'll see how much follow-through we get tomorrow and then again on Monday. But it wouldn't surprise me that this market's back on the upswing by the first part of next week.
All right. Thank you much. Looking forward to having you on Commodity Week this week. I'm not going to put a guess there because we're going to have to talk more about this. And it might be important, I suppose, to note, Dan, On the weekly charts, let's see. On the daily, November beans are down 21 and a quarter today, but they were down on the weekly charts, they're down 14 and a quarter. December corn down 9 3/4 on the daily, and on the weekly charts, they're down 6 3/4. And as you said, the damage has not been done really there yet. So we've got one more day to find out some interesting things.
Yeah, it does. And the other thing is what's encouraging from my point of view, I always get nervous. If you're a bull, if you start making new highs on the first few days of the month, because that tees you up then by the time the end of the month comes around for a big reversal down. And it's the opposite when you make reversals to the upside. They're usually done during the first few days of each month. So what we could be seeing ourselves set up here for the month of May is we could be looking at an inside month on the monthly chart for a consolidation period, and then we'll look around come May 30th and we'll see where our crop is at and whether or not the market needs to go on into a June-July high.
Looking forward to tomorrow's conversation. Talk to you in 24 hours.
Okay, very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, and he will be one of the three panelists tomorrow. I'm not going to have a guest because I think he's just going to have too much fun with it. Elaine Cubb, by the way, will be with us. She is in Brazil. Hopefully we'll be able to get her on the line. Chip Nellinger will be there. From Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and so will, of course, Dan Zwicker.
Support comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in downtown Urbana. For the spring season, Common Ground has gardening supplies and hundreds of varieties of organic and heirloom seeds ready for planting. Common Ground is a full-service grocery store that supports local farms year-round. More information is at commonground.coop. And from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you're on a smartphone, try it there as well. It should make it so that you can see it right there on the smartphone. And if you want to try something different, try m.willag.org. You may have to search for that one in Google. If you can't find it exactly, look for http://m.willag.org. No www in front of it. Write it all out and you'll find it there. That one happens to include the @CommodityWeek Twitter account. If you want to follow us, you can do that. I'm @CommodityWeek, by the way, and Dave Dickey is @DavidADickey. We both post pretty often to our Twitter accounts, and there are some pretty interesting things there that don't show up on our radio station. So follow us on Twitter. That's the Will Ag staff, @CommodityWeek, or @DavidADickey. Now up next, Lisa Brultz rediscovers an appreciation for canning in this edition of Backyard Industry.
I used to have this very little house on the prairie ideal in my early days of gardening. I was like, I'm going to grow a ton of stuff and I'm going to pickle and can all of it in the late summer for days on end, and then we'll eat it all winter. Buying produce from the farmer's market is cheating, I told myself. Receiving produce from friends or neighbors with bushes, trees, or patches whose fruit they weren't interested in preserving, that was acceptable. Predictably, reality set in fast. With dwindling time to maintain a garden of the size required to have enough produce to can and pickle, never mind the lack of time to actually can and pickle anyway, I found myself preserving very little food, and in recent years, preserving none at all. Enter the recent book Saving the Season by Kevin West. Though I love cookbooks, I'm rarely moved to talk at length about one, but Saving the Seasons is, well, a life preserver. It reconnected me with the idea of respecting food enough to save and enjoy and share it later, after its season has passed. My friend Jill told me about the book. Her cookbook collection is immense, and I trust her judgment, so I got myself a copy. Saving the Season is the kind of cookbook, and you can't do this with most of them, that you take to bed with you and read like you would a novel or a magazine. Seriously, far from being a cookbook that's solely recipes and technique, this book offers how-to and stories, and the storytelling is delicious. West grew up in the South and worked in the fashion magazine industry for years before landing in California and teaching himself how to preserve, mainly out of necessity. He bought a flat of strawberries on impulse at the farmer's market and had no idea what to do with them. His first attempt at strawberry jam like his grands was a frustratingly epic failure, which is another great thing about the book. He's not afraid to talk about the path one must walk to get really good at something in the kitchen. Preserving takes practice. West is also quite candid about the fact that he grows little, if anything, that he preserves. His writing really drove home to me that my guilt about not being entirely self-sufficient when it came to preserving was unnecessary, limiting, and rather stupid. If anything, buying produce directly from farmers is a double win. We don't have to do the work or assume the risk, and the farmer gets a fair price at market for their produce, money that goes directly into their pockets. The instructions and the recipes in the book are simple and accessible. Basic water bath canning equipment is inexpensive and easy to find. You might even have most of what you need already in your cupboards. The words on the page actually make sense, and the photography Wes' own is lovely and unfussy. He also divides the book into seasons, starting with spring, so the reader doesn't have to wait until late summer to start preserving. And it was while I was perusing the spring section that I saw it. Pickled asparagus with tarragon and green garlic. After 4 years, my asparagus patch is rather productive. I was considering giving most of it away, actually, because I couldn't find the right recipe or the time, or I didn't have the right jars, or insert excuse here. The recipe in the book had a magical effect on me, though. I found myself at a store spending the $10 on a dozen new pint and a half jars, perfect size for asparagus. I then found myself heating water for blanching the asparagus and boiling the jars. I measured vinegar and snipped tarragon and boiled spices. I cut asparagus to size and filled the jars with spears and pickling syrup, and I boiled those jars for 10 minutes. And a short time after their removal, the seal on the top of the jar pinged just like you hope it does to prove the seal is good. I stood there in my tiny kitchen and beamed at the jars. The farmer's market in Urbana starts this weekend. I'll be waiting in line to buy more asparagus and possibly rhubarb and probably young onions to preserve because I am now hopelessly addicted. Coming up, I dream of sour cherry preserves and Kevin West Grand's strawberry jam. For Backyard Industry, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and Dave Dickey for production of Backyard Industry.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, let's check now the cash market with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I guess it was an ugly day at the CME Group, huh?
Yeah, it was an ugly day today. I was wondering if we weren't going to check out the new price limits there for a while in the bean market, but
it didn't push it that far.
No, it didn't push it that far.
So what did basis do with the data? Did they react much?
Well, you know, everyone here in the last couple, 3 days has moved to the July, and really we didn't gain or lose a whole lot of anything. I mean, right now, basis is kind of an interesting situation for us. You know, we move a lot by rail, we move a lot by truck, but right now, you know, our best bid is over at St. Louis, but man, you got to get wheels under it to get it over there, and trucks are hard to come by right now.
Trucks are hard to come by, but you still have a bid into St. Louis, and they're looking around for corn. Beans,
they
too.
Are. They,
right?
They are. You know, they've got a pretty nice basis. And, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, it's taken about 40 cents more to rail it to the Gulf for the export market on corn, and you know, as compared to getting it down there on barge. And it's pretty well exactly what you see as far as a difference in price. But, yeah, they're willing to hunt down bushels a little bit over there, too.
Okay. Finally, you think damage has been done today, or is it just a correction?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. In my opinion, I think that maybe a little bit of the bullish enthusiasm might be dampened just a little bit. I don't know how much damage. Technically, things don't necessarily look great. But, you know, my rationale usually is more of a fundamental approach than a technical one, and it would take us a long time to get into that. So,
all right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois, back in just a couple of minutes here at Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com. Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey, With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Have you visited our website recently? I hope so. If not, try this out, willag.org. That's willag.org. It's a great place to stay up to speed on what's happening in the marketplace. You can listen to all of our audio programming there in its entirety, not long after it airs on our radio station, usually within 15 to 20 minutes. The times that they're posted to the website are located right there next to each and every one, from the opening to the closing market report and everything in between. That one also fits down to your smartphone. So if you're in the field and trying to stay up to speed, you can just, well, go to your smartphone and listen to us there if you can't happen, if you happen to miss us on the radio. Or if you want, at 10:15 and 3:15, just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update that one each and every business day, again at 10:15 and 3:15, with a bit of analysis and the nearest numbers to those hours at 333-3434. 434, a 217 area code.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tonora from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago is here. He's got the weather forecast for today, tomorrow, the weekend, and more importantly, next week. Let's start with the good news. Are farmers going to be able to get back into the field next week and plant a lot of corn?
We think so. To the south of Interstate 80, it looks like a fairly warm pattern is going to develop here as we move through the weekend and into the first 3 to 4 days of next week. That should take us all the way through Wednesday and Thursday. So the way it looks right now, we'll start to see planting conditions improve from around tomorrow's and Saturday forward, especially as temperatures start to reach the 70s and 80s to the south of Interstate 80. There is a little bit of concern regarding exactly how far north the warm weather will go next week. So we think as you get into far northern Illinois, northern Iowa, and then on into the northern Corn Belt from there, conditions won't be nearly as favorable simply because of all the rain over the last 3 to 4 days, and also because temperatures will be considerably cooler than areas further on to the south. Part of the reason that we have this large warm-up coming is because we have a couple of storm systems that develop off in the Rockies. And when you have a storm system that far to the west, a lot of the times what happens is you start to get warm winds blowing from south to north, which is what we do have happening for next week. But along with that warm weather, we have humidity levels that will increase too. So at some point later next week, we think that the storm system and the warm weather and the humidity will all interact and produce thunderstorms somewhere in the central U.S. At this point, unfortunately, we think the best chances for this event to materialize are from the northern plains, which is a very wet region, through Iowa, which has wet pockets, and then into Illinois and on south into the Delta, which includes your listening areas.
Can you help me take up a little bit more north of Interstate 80 and what their conditions are like and what they're likely to be through that 1 week period now until next Wednesday? While they'll have cold weather, will they have sunshine and will they have some wind that will help dry things out, or will it be gray and cloudy? What happens in that time frame?
It stays gray and cloudy over the next couple of days, but the real problem area is from North Dakota through Minnesota. A lot of these areas that produce corn and spring wheat received around 3 times their average rainfall over the last week, and we've calculated that about 26% of U.S. spring wheat production received at least 90 days worth of rain over the last 30 days. That's a lot of water, and it is a bit of a problem, especially given the forecast, and we have pretty high confidence that in that region, temperatures will stay near to below normal. We'll see scattered showers on any given day all the way through Tuesday, and then a pretty good chance for the system that comes through Illinois later next week to initially affect those areas of North Dakota, Minnesota, sometime around Tuesday or Wednesday. It's a little tricky, and it's still 5-6 days away, but we just don't have as optimistic an outlook for them, unfortunately.
Well, we'll talk with you again next Thursday and see how that panned out and what the next week looks like. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Mike.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report and helps us wrap it up. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.